Our scripture reading this morning is from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Hear the word of the Lord. Indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is the word of the Lord. I'm often amazed at modern medical technology and what that can actually do for us these days. People go into the hospitals for some pretty complex procedures, and a lot of times they're either released the next day or sometimes they're even released that very same day. They've got it down to such a fine art now. Sometimes people have great difficulty just getting around, and we can do things now like knee replacements and hip replacements. And after a few weeks of therapy, people are moving around a lot better than they've moved around in years. And if the illness is serious enough, we will seek medical help right away, because we know that if we put off treating this illness that we might have, it may reach a point where it becomes untreatable. But when it comes to sin, we often don't take it quite as seriously. We convince ourselves that it's no big deal. We learn to live with it. And if it continues to bother us enough, we redefine it and convince ourselves that what we once thought was sin is really no longer sin, so we kind of dispose of it. And as more and more people adopt this philosophy, our nation is getting pretty good at redefining things. But in our text today from the letter to the Hebrews, we are confronted by a God who takes sin seriously. And verses 12 and 13 are really about the judgment of God. And we don't like to hear about the judgment of God, and we don't like to hear about sin and things like that anymore. When I go to church leadership seminars, I often hear that pastors shouldn't preach about sin and judgment. But as I see it, churches are emptying out rather quickly, and people have convinced themselves that everything is fine and there's really no need for the church. There's no need to go and hear the preacher tell us we're okay, because we know we're okay. And there's really no point to it then. We're all okay. In our text today, the Word of God is not some wooden word from the past or some laws that are etched in stone from another era. But the Word of God is living and active. And one reason I'm such a big advocate for Bible studies is that I want people to read the Word of God. Because when you read your Bibles properly, it's not you that's interpreting the Scriptures. The Scriptures begin to interpret you and reveal who you are, actually. And the Word of God begins to speak to you, and it begins to speak deep into your soul. Not many people, sad to say, read their Bibles all that much anymore. People outside the church probably don't read it at all. I know there's a group of 20 people in this church that are reading about 20 chapters a week in a Bible study. So I know there's some that are reading their Bibles every week, but even inside the church, folks don't read their Bibles all that much anymore. Well, today I have a bit of news, not just for those inside the church, but I have a bit of news for the entire world today. You can take all the Bibles and go bury them in the ground. You can remove all the monuments that have the Ten Commandments from the Capitol buildings and from the law buildings and take them out to some field in the middle of nowhere and plop them down. Or you could even dig a hole there and put them in the ground. It wouldn't matter because the living Word of God, before the living Word of God, no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. The atheists claim there is no God, and even those who believe in God think that he's got more important things to do than to pay any attention to what is going on in their lives. And Job, we are told, was blameless, and he was upright. He feared God. He turned away from evil. But even Job shouts out in verse 8 today in our Old Testament text. He says, I go forward, and he's not there, or backward, and I cannot perceive him. On the left, he hides, and I cannot behold him. I turn to the right, but I cannot see him. And I think we've all been in Job's shoes from time to time, and we can relate to Job. I've certainly been in that position in my lifetime from time to time, where God seems far away and distant. But we know better than that. We know that that's not the case. And we are told in our text today that God searches and knows the thoughts and intentions of every heart. And this is where God is seen as the great physician. As I noted, modern technology can do remarkable things nowadays, but it cannot forgive and remove sin. At best, it can only redefine things for us. But God is the great surgeon. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. We are often easily drawn into the Christian faith. That is quite easy at times. When we first come to the faith, this seems easy. There's fellowship with others. We begin to feel like we're right at home. The message sounds okay. You know, we can tolerate it, you know. But some of our deepest and most profound experiences of God come to us when we're well beyond that initial stage. And I call them the cock crowing moments. You remember Peter had that moment in the New Testament where he's very bold and he said, Lord, I will never deny you. And Peter ends up denying the Lord three times. And when he does, the cock crows and Peter is reminded and he knows what has taken place. And we have those times in our lives as well. Perhaps it's a time of sin or denial, or perhaps it's a time when our faith is wavering a bit and doubts begin to creep in. And it's during those times that when God seems so distant that we may have one of those cock-crowing incidents, or whatever God uses that's around us, he'll use whatever's around us and he'll get our attention and we'll know that he's not distant, and we'll know that he is there and he's active in our lives. And when we discern that, it really cuts us down to the core of our being. We sense it in the just deepest parts of our being, and we know that even within us there's deep resistance to God at times, and only God can uncover that deep resistance. It's something that is deep within us. But he uncovers it and it shakes us to the foundations from time to time. In our fast-paced society, we often lack the patience to work through issues. Often in our spiritual lives, we are that way. We don't patiently read the scriptures and seek God's counsel. We look for a quick fix. We look for an instant resolution to the problem as we see it. But we often can only see things dimly. Or sometimes we are completely in the dark and we don't see things well at all. And then the light of God shines his bright light into our soul. And it is a light of judgment and revelation, but more importantly, it is a light of grace and a light of healing. And God is not going to wait for the resurrection and the final judgment to get on with his program. And that's where verses 14 through 16 come into play today. He says, since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, and yet he is without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. God's kingdom has indeed broken into this world, and it continues to break into this world through his Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus knows what it is like to be in our shoes. Jesus, who is far greater than Job, cried out like Job did from the cross. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He knows what it is like to be in our shoes, and yet he was without sin. And on the third day, God raised him from the dead. So Jesus is the high priest. He is our advocate in the heavenly courts. He's there on our behalf. And for those in covenant Bible study, this language sounds very familiar. It sounds like Old Testament language from the book of Exodus or the book of Leviticus. Like any good physician, God does not want to wait to begin treatment. And neither should we resist the treatment that God offers. As we weather the storms of life and stay the course, we discover that God's grace is indeed God's presence that is at work in our lives. He is present and he is active in our lives. And the outcome of such grace is sanctification. As Wesley put it, we are going on to perfection. Those are words we don't hear these days. We don't hear about sin. We don't hear about holiness. We don't hear about sanctification. We don't hear about perfection. Those words are foreign to us. We might as well be speaking Greek or Latin or something. We don't know what they're saying. But we do live in a society, a narcissistic society, where people think, well, you know, I'm not only going on to perfection, I've reached perfection. I am perfect. And they think in their own eyes, this is all about them, that they've attained this level of perfection and all is well and all is good. And they have this persona about them that sort of that oozes out of them. But they too will have their cock crowing moments. They may not admit it, but they know it. And they know that God knows it as well. But we are to embrace such things. And in chapter 3 it says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as of the day of testing in the wilderness. Another allusion to the Old Testament, the Israelites coming out of Egypt. And shortly after it, what do? They start complaining endlessly. And they're in rebellion, essentially, for 40 years against God in the wilderness. They hardened their hearts. They didn't want to hear it. They wanted to go back. We don't have food. We don't have this. Don't have that. And God said that the ancestors put me to the test, though they had seen my works for 40 years. Take care, brothers and sisters, that none of you may have an evil, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, so that none of us may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Today is the day of salvation. And salvation is not some one-time event, but it's an ongoing event in Jesus Christ. We are called to participate in the event of salvation through Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord and Savior, and we are being transformed by the Spirit. We should allow God to transform us from the inside out. I say that over and over again, but it is so true that only God can touch the very depths of our soul and repair what needs to be repaired there. Sin is intertwined with so many things, and God can go in like this double-edged sword and easily remove that and transform us. So that's what this text is really all about. It is a tension. There's a judgment, but within that judgment, there's grace and healing. And that's far more important. That's God saying his yes to us. God is saying yes to us. He's not saying no. He's saying yes. But he's saying, let's get on with the program, folks. You know, I ain't going to wait. I'm not waiting. It's time to get on with things. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.